The political landscape is ever-changing with new members of government, new issues arising, and new forms of communication shaping our country.
Perhaps the most important player in this landscape, however, is the newest voting population.
Generation Z.
Welcome to Last of Gen Z, a podcast created and produced by Gen Z, We're the Future.
We are the most interconnected and diverse generation in history, and today we have amazing members of the community who are politically and socially active to answer the questions of our curious minds and what they bring to the table for us.
A Generation Z.
Gen Z is shaking of things. We have our own minds and our own political party affiliations. You must be wondering, just born after 1996, how does politics really impact us?
Well, elections and politics have had a huge impact on our daily lives, our current and future career plans. It even causes friction amongst our personal relationships.
Politics is the road to progress and change for the people of a nation. From minimum wages to accessible childcare, politics can have a profound impact on our lives.
So, Aparna, I realize that you are going to interview someone. Sounds exciting.
Yes, today we have Mr. Alan Ellison with us, a husband, a father, and a small business owner who is going to run for the United States Senate. Hi, Mr. Ellison, how are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for asking. It's so nice to meet you, and thank you so much for doing this interview.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So as a brief overview, my name is Aparna, and I'm a podcast co-director and speaker at Gen Z We Are the Future, an entirely youth-led organization empowering the Gen Zers around the world to unite, pursue their passions, and get informed, as well as take action on global issues. So as a brief overview in this interview, we'll be going over some crucial questions that our audience might want to get to know and get to know answers from you about. We'd also be happy to answer any questions you have about Gen Z or the future. So if you have any, just please hit them my way.
Yes. How can I get involved and how can we work together to improve the quality of life for everyone?
Yeah. So you can get involved with our organization by clicking on the link in our Instagram bio. Our Instagram tag is at Gen Z We Are the Future. And once you're in the website that's on our link in bio, you can click on the join our Discord server and you can connect with other Gen Zers in that server. And you can also get involved with us by attending our events. We host monthly events. A few events we have hosted include the Gen Z Summit, which was an event with a few speakers, keynote speakers, Voice of Gen Z speakers, and a few organization highlights. And that was a two-day event that happened in December. Our next event was an entrepreneurs panel, and then that happened in February. And then the event we had after that is the Patients Before Profits event, which was a collaboration event between us and this other organization called Combat the Patent Prices. And we have an event coming up on April 10th, I believe, that is that we are collaborating with Lifting Lives, the nonprofit called Lifting Lives. And it is an event that features a few people who have like experienced the Uyghur genocide or want to speak out about the Uyghur genocide that is happening in China. So that's super exciting. And you can definitely help out, help work together to make our world a better place by just educating others and uniting people in your community. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Count me in.
Yeah, great. Amazing. So let's get right into the interview. So, Okay, so first question, do you want to start off by giving us a brief introduction about yourself and what do you do?
Absolutely. My name is Alan Ellison. I'm running for the United States Senate. I'm from Florida. I grew up in Hardee County. I currently reside in Highlands County. I'm a husband, a father, a small business owner. My business is a salon. I do hair. I've been doing hair for 28 years. I started doing hair growing up in Hardee County out of necessity because where I'm from, there wasn't any ethnic barbershops to go to. So I needed a haircut for the fifth grade banquet. And there was no one to cut my hair. So I got my dad's clippers and I began to cut my hair. I was doing pretty good until I got to the back and then I had so many patches in my hair. Everyone was laughing, but I really enjoyed the experience of cutting my hair. So I began to cut it more and I started cutting my brother's hair and I started messing their hair up. They would cry whenever they'd see me come. But I got pretty good at it. And then by the time I got to high school, I was already looking at internships in a barbershop in a nearby community, in a neighboring county, actually. And so I decided to go to school for it. So I went to school for cosmetology in 1999, graduated in 2000. I went back to school for political science, met my wife, and we ended up going to school together and finishing up college in 2007. We ended up having a daughter. She's 10 now, she's going on 32. Sometimes she
Wow.
thinks she's my boss. But you know, we live here in Florida. We've been here for a number of years, and we know what people are dealing with. The thing about doing hair is that I get a chance to interact with people every day on the issues that matter to them. And what I have found out is that a lot of people simply feel as if their voices don't matter. And I want to be able to change that. I want to make sure that we have stronger, better, and more responsive leadership in the United States Senate. So I am running. This is my third campaign for federal office. I ran in 2018 as a special election candidate after the death of April Freeman, who was the Democratic nominee for the United States Congress in District 17. When she passed away, there was about 30 days before the general election. So the state had a special election. I won 52% of the vote out of four contestants. And then we moved into the general. By the time we got into the general election, the ballots were already printed up. My name wasn't on the ballot, but I was still able to get 117,000 votes in the state's largest congressional district covering nine counties. So I
Wow.
didn't secure the win, but I did make an impact. And so we came back in 2020 to run for the seat again. And then COVID hit, and a lot of the activities that we had, in-person activities, canvassing, door knocking, all of those in-person activities came to a screeching halt when COVID-19 hit. So we had to do our part to make sure that people were safe. So we went to an all-digital campaign, which was really different than we ever had to experience. Not only in my campaign, but throughout the state and throughout the country. And so we're here again looking to capitalize off of every area that we were weak and to continue to give people a voice. And this is why I do these podcasts. This is why I do town halls every week, because people need a voice. People need to be heard. And I want people to know that I am listening and that I am willing to learn what is on their hearts and on their minds so that I can use my creativity, education, and experience to bring about positive outcomes for people who care so deeply about their lives in this country. And so I
That is
think it's important. I think it's very important to have these open, honest discussions, and I'm here for it.
Same with me. That was so inspirational. Thank you so much for sharing that about you. And I am so excited for your campaign. And I definitely know that you will do amazing. So
Thank
thank
you
you
so
for your
much.
information.
I appreciate it.
Of course. So our organization, Gen Z Build the Future, is all about envisioning a better future for our planet and everybody who lives in it. So when you think about the future, what do you envision?
I envision a society that clings to science, a society that embraces our differences, a society that looks to the common threads that bind us together and use those common threads as a foundation to move forward. I think that we have to begin to better educate ourselves and our children so that we can get beyond where we have come from. We have a long ways to go, but I think that with new leaders coming into office such as myself, we will use the platforms that we have to continue to spread love, unity, education, inspiration, empowerment. And that's the only way we're going to move forward. I always say that a divided house cannot stand, and our Congress is completely divided. And so the reason that I say that I'm a progressive is because I am always looking for creative ways to push for policies that don't get us bogged down by the philosophical, ideological debate that we constantly have that sends Democrats and Republicans into their respective corners. We want to bring policies that don't cut programs, that don't raise taxes. We want to create programs that encourage people to engage in public-private partnerships. We want to increase our trade capacity with countries that we currently do not do business with, and use those revenues to be able to pay for a lot of the programs that we're constantly debating on whether or not we can have them or how are we going to pay for them. And so I just believe that if we have a better educated society, we will be able to pick the best possible leaders that can help run this country to a better future. Right now, I see that a lot of our young people, our Gen Zers, they are totally engaged in the political arena. And I really do appreciate that, because when I was a political science major in college back in 2003, whenever I graduated, I was the only political science major out of all of the different fields of study. And I got a chance to watch the evolution of our society become more politically astute. So I'm glad for that, because the more you know about how government works or how it should work, the less likely you will be told anything by any politician. And I think the reason we ended up with a person like Donald Trump is because people were fed up of career politicians, but at the same time, they had not truly been educated to understand how government works. So when politicians say certain things, there is a way forward and there's simply a way not. And a lot of things that he was saying, there was no way forward. Like, we're gonna build a wall and Mexico's gonna pay for it. You know, it sounds good, but there's just no justification in it. And so we have to make sure that our people are better educated so that they can pick the best politicians to lead this country. And so my vision is to raise the bar, make sure that people have the right information, make sure that they are educated, and then open up the dialogue. If you look at my Twitter right now, I just put out a tweet to say that we are going to, at least for 1 hour, be responsive. I'm going to answer every single question that someone poses to me. And I'm doing that because I want to set a new standard. We have had enough of politicians running on these issues, getting in office, and then you never hear from them until it's re-election time. We want to make sure that people understand that this is a partnership. It's really not about my issues. It's about your issues. And I want people to know moving forward that we have a responsibility to understand what your issues are so that we can create the policies in partnership with the people. We create the policies that make positive impact in the lives of everyone. And the reason I say everyone is because that is also something that most politicians don't get. They think that they're there only to serve the people that donate money to their campaigns or the people that are in their party. When you're campaigning, I understand, but once you become an elected official, you represent everyone. And so these are the things that I see for our future, but it's going to start with our campaign, and we're going to continue to raise the bar, each and every day. We're going to change the conversation, and I want everyone to feel included in our political process. And if we can do that, that would be a new path forward.
Exactly. That was actually really like touching and really inspirational. It is definitely like you and I feel that it's the people that run the government. It's the people that make the policies. And if the people aren't educated, if the people don't know what their politicians or what their local government officials are like even passing out, then like, what is the point, right? Like, then you could just allow these corrupt government officials to just like pass all these legislations that will actually prevent our human rights and that prevent the foundation of America, like why America was started. So definitely that was extremely touching and extremely inspirational. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So many of our community members have pointed out that they look up to fierce leaders like yourself. So we were wondering, who is your role model or somebody you look up to?
I try to pattern my social approach to a lot of the issues that deal with injustice. After Dr. King, I thought that he was a wise and brilliant leader, someone who was able to captivate the world with his philosophies and approach to social justice. So our campaign is about inclusion, and it's also about equality. So you will hear me talk a great deal about gender pay equality, racial equality, equality for our brothers and sisters in the LGBTQIA community, and for Asians. We want everyone to feel that they are a part of not only the political process, but we want them to feel a part of what it means to be an American. And the sad reality is that for a lot of Americans, they simply do not feel this way. And so it's one of the reasons that I'm running for office, because when I look around this state and I look around this country, I know that the country is broken up into two groups, the haves and the have-nots. And it is the have-nots that make up the vast majority of our country, because they have not adequate representation. And without representation, there is no way that you can get resolve on the issues that matter most to you. So I am looking to be the champion for those have not individuals who have not representation. I'm looking to be the champion for those who have felt marginalized, who have felt overlooked, disregarded, and sometimes disrespected. We want to bring back a level of dignity to what it means to be an American.
Exactly. Yeah, that is so inspirational. And thank you so much for that. So for your motivation, what motivates you and keeps you going on when the current state of the world can be so grim with COVID-19 and all the other unrest going on?
The thing that motivates me the most is just looking around and seeing all of the people dying, the people that are struggling, the people that need access to healthcare. Looking around at our environment, knowing that there are still leaders in the United States Congress that do not believe in science, that don't believe in the fact that climate change is real. When I look at the fact that there were babies in cages and neglected, instances of rape in our penal system and in the prisons, the fact that private prisons are able to pay politicians, like all of these things. When I look at the fact that you still have people trying to justify that somehow George Floyd's murder was because of something that he did and that he's on trial, when I look at that stuff, I realize that I have a responsibility to do more, to be more. So these things are what motivate me. These things are what inspires me to continue to push. Running for a federal office at this level, it is a gruesome and it's a tiresome thing. I have to be on the cusp of what's going on nationally. I have to be well read on all of the issues, and I have to do a lot of work. And it takes a lot of energy to mobilize thousands of people. And sometimes I wonder if it's all worth it. And then I'll turn on the television and I'll see a case of injustice, or I'll get a phone call and someone is in need and they can't get help from their senator or their representative, and they're calling me to help them. These are the things that make me understand that life is bigger than me. This campaign is bigger than me. It's really about all of us and how we all work together to impact the lives of everyone positively. I believe that all legislation and all policy should move society forward. I believe that whenever legislators are writing laws and it moves society backward, we have a responsibility to recognize that, call it out, raise the awareness on who they are and what they're doing, and work to remove them from office. And so, I don't really consider myself a politician. I consider myself a change agent, social change agent, or a social engineer, because I'm really all about making sure that our society is moving forward in a positive direction. We've had enough of politicians using divisive rhetoric that causes us to become divided, that brings out the worst in people. We need more politicians who speak to the positive nature of us as humans. We need more politicians to try their best to find what we have in common. And I believe that out of 55,000 different laws, which are associated with 55,000 different issues, which are associated with millions of people, I'm pretty sure that we can find some common ground to move forward from.
Exactly, yeah. And as the saying goes, united we stand, divided we fall. So only if we're united can we actually progress on in future and prevent all these injustices from happening again in the future.
Absolutely. So our campaign theme is United for Florida. And occasionally you hear me
amazing.
Talk about being united for America. And it's we're trying to change the narrative about what we can accomplish together.
Exactly. That's so amazing. So thank you so much. Let me just say this again. So what is a piece of advice that you would give to Gen Zers who are interested in pursuing a career in politics or government?
I would say not only pursue an education from an educational institution, but intern as much as you can, because when I graduated from college with my degree, and then the next step for me was to run for office, I was without all of the practical skills that I needed in order to run for office. And so when it comes to the practicality of politics and becoming like a politician, you're going to need to have like actual experience. So intern as much as you can, begin to find mentors who are already in the field of politics that you want to be in, and have them coach you, have them show you things, because you can only learn so much from reading. A lot of the stuff that I know, I've had to learn by actually doing it. And I'm always open to mentoring young politicos in this field of government. I'm always interested in making sure that we inspire the next generation of leaders. It's part of what I do every day. We have a lot of Gen Zers on our campaign, and we give them resources, we give them tools, and we allow them to ask me questions every week on our conference call so that they can get whatever they need. I help with papers, research papers, or whatever it is, as long as it means moving our Gen Zers forward in life in the field they want to be in, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that was so amazing. And thank you so much for that advice. And definitely our Gen Zers will definitely use that in hand. So thank you. So this is something that we ask to everyone we interview. So what is your favorite thing about Gen Z?
Creativity. I like the fact that they are interconnected in a way that no one before them have been, and that creates opportunity for information to be widespread throughout the globe. I also really appreciate the fact that this is the most educated, the most intuitive generation that we've ever seen. And I am very happy to know that this generation is more homogeneous than any other generation. So I'm excited about the future of what Gen Zers are going to be able to do in government. And so, you know, it's the one thing that gives me hope, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are like so many Gen Zers who are like looking forward to a better future and who are trying to make change even today in this midst of a crisis. So yeah, I also look forward to what is in store for the future.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So where can our followers go to find out more about you and your campaign?
AlanEllison.com. We're on every social platform, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Alan Ellison for Senate, Alan Ellison for Florida, Alan L. Ellison on Twitter. We engage on each platform. We actually have a video that went viral on TikTok, so please check us out on TikTok. Actually, our Gen Zers actually run our page, so I'll go and put together a video and they'll do what they do to make it pop. So please join our campaign. We have a spot for you. Our campaign is probably the most diverse campaign in the state of Florida, maybe even the United States. We have people from all over the country, all over the state, in every age range. And it's very beautiful. Our campaign looks like America.
That's amazing, definitely. So before we wrap everything up, is there anything else you want to mention or if you want to know or mention to our audience?
Just that we can't win this campaign and this race without the help of everyone. So please join our campaign, join our family, because it's becoming a family at this point. We look out for one another. We make sure that everyone has great mental health. We have mental health experts on our team. We are always looking to empower people. So whenever people come to our campaign, they know that when they leave, they're going to be stronger, wiser, smarter, and more equipped than when they came. And so that's our goal. It's not only about electing me to office, but it's really about empowering one another and inspiring a nation. We're going to raise the bar. We're going to raise the level of responsiveness and how leaders should handle their constituents. Because we know that the gentleman that I'm running against, he has only been to work 40% of the time in 11 years. And I don't know how many of you can work 40% on your job and still keep your job. So we want to make sure that we are doing everything in our power to remove him from office, make sure that I get there so that I can represent your interests in the best possible way.
Definitely. So, thank you. Of course. So thank you so much once again for doing this interview. Our audience will definitely love it. And we wish you the best of luck with everything. And just know that Gen Z for the Future is always here if you need anything. Of course. And we hope to work with you soon. And let's definitely stay in touch.
Join Team Ellison. Let's make it happen.
Definitely. Join Team Ellison. Thank you so much once again.
After this super insightful interview, I was wondering, what are your expectations for how political leaders and parties should behave? What do we want from them, and how can they make sure that they stand up to our expectations?
I think that political leaders and parties should be a reliable person on who can trust in leading our society. They should hold themselves accountable and contribute to the needs of the common folk rather than the elites dominating the interests of our lawmakers. This makes America acting more of an oligarchy instead of a democracy by the coming day, unless we have hope.
Yes, so it was a really informative interview and really inspiring. There have been numerous behavior expectations to our political leaders. Among those expectations, I think these two are the most important. First, political leadership behave like a powerful leadership, guys. They must be emotionally stable, extremely assertive, more deliberate, conscientious, and open-minded. More honest, but also someone more disagreeable than the average citizen. Second, our political leaders should know how to sympathize. I think they should apprehend citizens. They should understand and act in the citizens' interest to represent them well. To represent them well, it must be mandatory to sympathize sincerely and think on citizens' side.
Amazing question and answers. I completely agree with both of you. So I think our political leaders should make their decisions based on the fundamental principles and building blocks our countries were founded upon, such as freedom and justice. Some examples of these decisions could be ensuring equal rights for all and preventing discrimination against different racial groups. I believe that in order to get these political leaders to stand up to our expectations, we as the people should hold them accountable for any injustices they do. We can hold marches, rallies, petitions, and more to ensure a better future and a safer world for our generation.
I definitely agree with what everyone else has said, and I think accountability is really, really important as it allows us to like know for sure that our leaders will be sticking to their promises and taking action on the things that we voted for them. So besides from taking action and staying true to promises, representing their people and really fighting for change is also really important. And just being a strong leader who a community can rely on and knows that that leader will work towards change in the future is super important.
Next, we have our founders, Claire and Sophia, with some interesting questions for Lily Zhao, a mother of three and an entrepreneur who is running for U.S. Senate.
Okay, great. So let's start off by giving, do you want to start off by giving us a brief introduction of yourself and what you do?
Nice meeting you, Sophia and Claire. And I see Shohana is here too. And I'll briefly introduce myself. I'm a mother of three and I am an entrepreneur and I sold three of my companies and here I am running for US Senate so that we can make a difference in for our next generation and our current hardworking people. Wow. So that's basically, that's what I'm here. Yes.
So we asked some of our community members if they had any questions for you. And a big thing that came up was for since you're running for Senate, a lot of our members are interested in pursuing political careers of their own. So what inspired you to go into politics and particularly run for Senate?
Very interesting. Great question. I moved to San Diego. When I came to this country, I didn't speak a word of English. But I worked really hard and I built my first restaurant when I was 23. So I moved to San Diego 20 years ago, then the community, because I'm in the financial services, so I need to meet a lot of people and the community wanted to help me. So they, when they saw me, they say, Lily, why don't you run for the city council? And I have no clue what anything about politics. And I said, no, it's not for me. And I'm not a person that I don't argue and I don't like to fight with people. So that was 20 years ago. And last 2 years ago, I was invited to a event because I volunteered for the past 20 years in many, many different organizations. And I raised funds for a lot of nonprofits as well. So when they invited me to the gala, Pacific PEM, I think it's PAC, P-A-C-C, it's a nonprofit too. And then they, some community leader asked me to run again. They asked where do I live? I say, I live in UTC. And they say, wow, that's District 1. And in history, never an Asian woman or female ran for the city council. So they asked me to run and I decided to run. And I was, I like to do things unconventionally. And I was advised to hire professionals, but I didn't. And I wanted to learn and tried. And I was only 3,146 votes short to make it to the general election last November. So
that's wonderful. Thank
you. And I did it the way that we're doing it right now.
That's cool. And so, Gentle, we are the future is all about envisioning a better future for our planet and everyone who lives on it. So when you think about the future, what do you envision?
I envisioned that that's why I'm running for the Senate, because I wanted to empower the youth and get them to get into the political field, especially, you know, my whole campaign right now consists of the youth, my marketing director, my PR director, Bridget, they are all youth that are high school students. So this morning I talked to my campaign general. She's been running for the campaign for the past 23 years. And she says she only run for the winning candidates. So she reached out to me because she thinks that I have better opportunity to compare to the other candidates, because my passion is the tax cut for the middle-class hardworking people, everybody, including the low incomes. And for the youth is about the education reform, because I feel that the education system, I taught at San Diego State for 3 years to MBA students, and they are not equipped to adapt to the fast moving technology. You know, the world is moving so fast, but I feel that our school system is not teaching our kids the soft skill that needed the most actually to compete in the future, especially with the AI and machine learning that is going to take over so many jobs, and the student, many of them, they don't even know. So, and that's why I wanted to run. And then also I wanted to empower the youth that the future is yours and it is up to you. You have the power to make the decision. And I'm training the youth. The youngest one is 13 to run for the president of the United States, because he has 22 years. I mean, yeah, he does. He has 22 years to prepare himself to run for the president. And as I was running last year, I learned that it is not the experience that you need, or how seasoned you are in the political world. It's more about your passion and what you wanted to do. And because the society has changed, you know, has mold us the mind to think that political has to be that way, but it's not. And it can be, you know, you have power today to decide your future. Because if you don't do something right now, many kids don't know that. If you don't do something right now, then the future, you're in the politician's hand, that you can make a difference. So that's why I run.
Wow, that's amazing to hear. And I'm glad you're focusing on youth so much and youth empowerment, which is quite unheard and seen of in the political world. That's amazing.
Sophia, hear this, my campaign, because today I, my campaign general, they are saying that, you know, I need campaign managers, the professional ones and everything else. I say, no. I'm running this campaign purely youth. I'm going to run it this way.
That's amazing to hear.
Thank you. Because all of us can learn from my campaign. Mm-hmm. And if we can make a difference, because when everyone is, you know, if you're 17 this year, and you will be able to vote for me next year. So if we can mobilize the youth and wake up the youth and tell them this is your future. And in order for you to have a better future, you decide who you want to elect. You have the power. And that's why we're organizing all the youth together, so that we have power to make a difference in the next year's race. You and I, all of us.
That's great. So on the topic of youth, our next question is, a lot of youth and members of Gen Z look up to powerful leaders like yourself. So who do you look up to and admire?
I admire Mother Teresa the most. And that's what I'm going to use for my campaign, because when there's love, there's no violence, there's no such a thing racism, there's no such a thing of anger in our society. So Mother Teresa is my idol, and also Elon Musk, because I love his mind, that he can make a difference without people, you know, everybody was laughing at him saying it's impossible, but he's a doer, and I am a doer as well. Because if I said I'm gonna do something and I am, which is when I decided to run for the Senate, because that's the only way I can make an impact. Instead of all my volunteer work, it's not enough. But only when I run for the Senate that I have the power to make the movement to change lives in a grander way. So my campaign is your platform to learn, and my campaign is your platform to grow and to become a future leader.
Wow, that is super inspirational, and we're super happy to hear that. So,
thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So we hear that you are campaigning on policy rather than party. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. Because I don't believe in the parties or anything else, but it's purely I'm running for the people and that's it. It doesn't matter what party is. So when I, since November, when I decided, Thanksgiving Day actually is on the drive to Sacramento, that I decided there's this opportunity. Kamala's seat is vacant for election next year. So I decided if I want to change, I wanted to run. And every person that I speak to, regardless of party, because of the tax cut, and it's their core beings. Just imagine this. Ask your parents simply, how much are they making? If they're making over $35,000, I'm talking about $35,000, the combined your parents' income, they start being taxed heavily. Do they have any idea? They don't. And is that right for the government to take their money away? Absolutely not. And it is them and us to make a difference, that I don't want you to, you know, your hardworking money being taken by the government, because the government, you elected them and you make that decision. If the anybody that makes the opposite decision for you, then they're not working for you and they're not the politician that you want to vote for. So it's not about party, it's about people, period.
Wow, that's great to hear. And we love how you're focusing on people and actually like campaigning to make change. Our next question is, what keeps you motivated even when the current state of the world can be so grim with COVID and all the other unrest going on?
Oh my gosh, my day, every day is beautiful. And I have absolutely no fear, because the society embedded us fear and anxiety, but I don't have that. It's just like when I came to this country at 17 with no money and no English and no relatives here, I came because I have no fear. So every day to me is that, how many lives can I change and how many people I can influence to make their life happier. And that once you, because I think Shahana will have a great take on this one. The reason I'm saying, because her major is in the neurologist, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Shahana.
Yeah, I want to become a neurologist. I want to major in
chemistry. Exactly. So you are the one that, because Carl told me before, he said, every person's mind can only think one thing at a time. You either positive or negative. So in my mind, that's why he say I'm weird, because I can switch off. I don't need his technology to switch off. He say, Lily, there's not many people can do that. So when he hear me doing that, he say, oh my gosh, you're weird. I mean, you're aware, not weird. He say, you're very aware. You have a very aware mind. So go back to your question, is that I don't see this world as grim. Every day, even though with the COVID or anything, all I see is how can I make it better for everybody, period. Because if you live, you have a choice of fear of COVID. And what about tomorrow, earthquake? What about car accident? How many people, how many lives that you can guarantee is nothing gonna happen to you, right? So I don't focus on fear. I'm focusing on how can I make other people better and happy. And not to worry about COVID, because if it hits, it hits. And my daughter was tested positive, but only she suffered it 2 days and that was it. And she was fine. And I have my vaccine. So to me is that if we follow the protocol and we take precaution, then we'll be fine. So that's my take. And I have no fear.
Wow, that's super nice to hear. So we've heard that your campaign has a huge focus around empowering youth voices, and we absolutely love it. A huge thing that Gen Z We Are the Future does is inspire our audience. So clearly you have accomplished a lot and you are only just getting started. So what inspires you?
What inspires me, actually, because I'm doing a lot of volunteer work throughout the past 20 years, and then I taught at school, and I was a student for a long time, and I see the system is the whole education is a economic system that is traditional way. I mean, it's in a traditional way. Please excuse my English because I never really learned English, so you will see my grammar is messed up. But so I see the system is very traditional, and I wanted to make a difference. And I know that only thing that the only way I can make a difference is to have a voice, have a platform. So running this campaign, that is the platform. And then I wanted to, through my campaign, I want to see many youth is gonna be involved in the politics in the future. Just the same as, I don't know if you know Justin, and I'm training him to run for the president of the United States when he turns 35. So he's supposed to give me a homework, you know, what term, what year is he running, so that we can prepare him for that. Because to become a president is not that difficult. It is about how many people, how many lives you can influence, and how, you know, what kind of person you are. And also now that we're focusing on youth, so youth have a lot of power. You have a lot of power. So I just wanted to show you, you're 18, and you should be responsible for your future, and you can decide your future for the generations to come.
Oh, that's amazing to hear and very inspirational.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, I think your English is wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. I'm still learning. Yeah, so our next question is, what advice would you give to Gen Zers and the youth who are interested in pursuing careers in politics or government?
Know what you want and know what you're passionate about. And I would educate them to have a purpose, because once you have a purpose, then you will be able to focus and do what you wanted to achieve. Because every dream that I wanted, America is the only country in the world that can make dreams come true. And I don't know how many people know that, but this is a land of opportunity and the youth didn't know that. So I wanted to, through our campaign in the future, when we reform the education, they will be able to know what makes them happy in the morning and what makes them happy to go to school and learning the things that they want to learn, not the things that being forced and you forget and you don't use. I don't want you to go to school and just because it's a system, you know, tell you, you have to take the exam, you have to do it this way. No, you don't have to, because life is short. And you do what you love, because with your passion, then you will be able to tell me, because what's your passion, Sophia?
I'm really passionate about writing and social justice and politics, actually.
Oh my gosh, you'll be perfect for our campaign, and and you can work with Bridget and Shahana, because if you love writing, then you will be you will focus on writing for our campaign. I'm just giving you an example, and that will be your career, because not just for my campaign, because there's so many candidates out there that we're going to reach out to in the end. Like I was telling my team, if other candidates don't have the same agenda and belief as I do, even though I win, I cannot make a difference. You understand? So if you're very good in writing, we can encourage and can tell people, this is who you are today. And is that the government that you want? You ask people simply, is that what you want? They take the money, take money away from you. Or do you want to be able to keep the hardworking money? And then, because every dollar you spend, you and indirectly, you created a lot of jobs. But for the money, I go, now I have to say things again because I told my campaign team before and the interviews as well, the government is not running efficiently and we don't need a big government. And it is up to you to write about it. And it is up to you to tell people to wake people up and make them think otherwise. And it is up to you, Sophia, to tell, you know, the society that when there's love, if everybody is loving one another and there's no color, there's no racism and there's no gun control, there's no violence in our society. But are we doing that? Our government helping people to live in a loving society, or are we creating anger, creating issues so that people can constantly fighting? And earlier when you asked me, you know, what's my focus running my campaign, it's not about, I don't want any hate or anything, but we want to promote love. So you can write all of this. There's so much for you to write about. Wow. But how many people out there are writing, Sophia?
A lot of people.
Bring them together.
Okay.
And see who influenced people, because you can write a lot, but if you don't touch people's life, then it's you're not good enough. And I'm sorry, I'm very straightforward. Then you just have to work harder.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great to hear. And I'll definitely look into your campaign and potentially joining.
No, please, please, it's your campaign. I'm just your voice.
Oh, thank you.
I'm giving you, giving the youth platform to make a difference.
Yeah, that's great. I really like that. I'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, we'll definitely spread the message to all of our journalists since they're amazing writers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So this is something that we ask every single person who does our Gen Z highlights. So what is your favorite thing about Gen Z or the youth?
They are full of hope. They are fun. And I wanted to share them in the right way, because I'm very fortunate to meet all of you here. But you have no idea the Gen Z that I met outside of this group. They're nothing close to where you at right now. So you're the one out of a million. I just wanted to let you know that, because I teach in schools too. And not only the Gen Z, because I have students over, you know, 20, 30, 30 years old. They have no idea what they wanted to do. And that's not our situation. Our education system failed them.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like how you're campaigning to change that and make it so like Gen Z and the youth actually have a direction for their future and want to push society forward.
Yes.
Our last question is, where should our followers and community members go to find out more about your campaign?
My two, the PR, Bridget and Sohanna will let you know.
Okay.
My whole campaign's PR and marketing to the youth is all in their hands. So, and you can work with them.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I'm excited to, hopefully I will meet you. And then one thing, two of my students from Germany, they're going to run for the Chancellor of Germany.
Wow, that's so cool.
I know, from day one, they have no clue what they want. And then end of this semester, 3 months. And then two of them are willing to do that.
Wow.
So yes, that's what amazing. I'm talking about. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And before we wrap everything up, is there anything that you would want us to know or mention to our audience?
One thing I want the youth to know is that know what your purpose is. It's very important in life. And then do what you're passionate about and go for it. And focus on it. Because if you don't know what you want, then you're wasting your time. So.
Wow, that's a really strong message. Thank you so much once again for doing this interview. Our audience will definitely love it. And we wish you the best of luck with everything. And just know that Gen Z, We Are the Future is always here if you need anything. And we hope to work with you soon. And let's definitely stay in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just so that you know, I already won, actually, in my standard, because I have Bridget and Shahana, Justin, and the team. So working with them, I already won.
That's so great to hear. I love your viewpoint on everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, this Thank is you. Very inspirational, and I'll definitely look into the campaign.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and together thank you so we can much. Make a difference.
As a member of Gen Z, it seems like our work will never be done. We thrive to do better, to make our world a safe place, to ask for what we deserve, to provide allyship to those in need. So what are your guys' thoughts on Alan and Lily joining us as allies of Generation Z?
I really liked how both of these political leaders and activists were extremely passionate about our country's values and what they stood for. From their speaking style to their actual content they gave, both of them were extremely inspirational and motivating. Now, I really hope that if these leaders were to be elected, they will stand for whatever they told us in these interviews and make our world a better place.
Yes, it was really informative, and I got to understand how political leaders and activists work. I could feel how deeply they sacrifice and volunteer for the country. I'm so sure that their interview contents will motivate our audiences to be a better person and to think about our countries. Hopefully they elected and implemented those great promises and made a best. Hopefully they elected and implemented those great promises and make a peaceful and equal world for everyone.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it was great to hear from both of them. And it was also great to hear how both of their campaigns had a quite Gen Z-oriented campaigning process and messaging. So it was really nice to see how passionate they were about all these issues and how they really wanted to get people involved and kind of build a like grassroots coalition fighting for change and incorporating Gen Z in the mix of it all.
I would say that this is very important for our audience, especially since reassurance is needed in these troubling times now more than ever. When trust in government is at an all-time low and our nation grows even more divided every single day, it is important that we need leaders that can contribute to helping their constituents rather than being tempted by power and greed.
We would like to extend the same question to our listeners. Write to us on Instagram or emails and tell us what you thought about Alan and Lily's interview.
What are your expectations from Let's Talk Gen Z? And what do you want to listen to next?
We would also like to thank Anchor for helping us distribute Let's Talk Gen Z to various different platforms.
Oh, and on a similar note, just another reminder to sign up for our newest event, International Allyship, How to Help the Uyghurs. The link to register is in the description box. You can also visit our Instagram to know more about this.
We have some really exciting panelists and speakers that you don't want to miss. Tell your friends to sign up as well.
Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with another exciting episode of Let's Talk Gen Z.